Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, if your boyfriend is listening to B-Spec,
Brian Spector,
then reach over, grab his knob, and turn it up.
We ready! We ready! We ready!
Football fans, it's that time for the NFL Spectacular with B-Spec, Brian Spector.
You're no big pappy.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious? Malin couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
He's the king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4.4 ever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's B-Spec, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yeah!
I'm absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Set your pie hole! We're working here!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, I'm getting ready to rumble. As a matter of fact, we're already rumbling. Good afternoon, another edition of the NFL Spectacular. I'm B-Spec, Brian Spector. You for the next hour. We'll take your calls, 347-945-6275. If you want to get in on the show, bunch of guests joining us today. We're going to have John Schmelk from NewYorkGiants.com. We're going to go on the clock with the New York Giants. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to go on the clock with the NFC champion, Arizona Cardinals. Josh Buchanan from the NFL Draft Bible will stop by. We'll talk about some smaller prospects, guys from small-time schools you may not know about that are going to make a big difference in the NFL come Sunday afternoons, Monday nights, whatever you prefer. Josh will join us later in the show. Lots going on. The draft is 9 days away, folks. And all the intrigue is now starting. Guys are getting created. Who's moving up? Who's moving down? This guy with a drug test. That guy with a drug test. Now it's come out that up to 26 players tested positive for some kind of drug. Only 26? I mean, that's practically the whole first round. If you want to be technical in mathematical terms, that's very interesting. And this is where the NFL teams find out. Week before the draft, they get the list, they get the breakdown of what players took what. The Minnesota Vikings have already eliminated 60-some-odd players from their draft board because of potential, and I'm quoting, drug issues or character flaws. I don't blame them. You're a professional. I don't want to sit in here and babysit guys. I don't have to worry about what the hell they're doing when they're home or what club they're at. I want to know when they're in my facility, they're going to work hard. They're going to be on the field every day practicing hard in the film room studying, and when they leave, they go home, do their thing, come back. I don't want my guys out all hours of the night partying at clubs. I don't need that kind of drama, and a lot of these guys don't want that kind of drama on their ball club. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Who's your favorite team? Who's going to draft who? It'll be very interesting to see what happens. Very interesting. Now the Cleveland Browns are potentially interested in Michael Crabtree. But the Giants supposedly are now interested in Anquan Boldin over Braylon Edwards. Go figure. Plaxico Burress is gone right now. Who knows what's going to happen? But speaking of the New York Giants, that knows a lot about the New York Giants, it's John Schmelk from Giants.com. John, how you doing today? I could be better. I'm walking out of Yankee Stadium right now after a 10-2 blowout defeat. Other than that, I'm doing fine.
You know what, John? I didn't get a chance to tell you this. My family is from New York. I grew up on Dave Field in non-Matic League, and I'm a diehard Yankee fan. People go to me, they go, "Sex, get my hand back." I'm like, "No, it's not a hand back." I grew up with Steve Sack, all those guys. I was a Yankee fan, and they went 79 and 83, and they couldn't do anything before Joe Torre. So I'm feeling your pain. I'm thinking Sebastian goes 5 2/3 innings. What happened? I realized he didn't even give up all the runs.
Yeah, you know what, Sebastian, he didn't even have his good stuff today. He battled. He was behind in the count all day long. He fought back. They made him throw 120 pitches to get through the 5 2/3. But as soon as they went to that bullpen, Jose Veras came in, hit a batter, gave a couple hits, and then Damaso Marte absolutely imploded and gave up 6 runs in 1 inning. And 9-7 pretty much sealed this one.
And I think Damaso Marte still thinks he's pitching in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know what? They might accept stuff like that in Pittsburgh. They might accept that type of stuff here. Let me tell you, he got booed off the mound pretty badly.
They're already talking to AAA that he might be there pretty soon with another couple of outings like that.
Well, we shall see.
John, I know you have a lot going on, but I really appreciate your time here on the show to talk about your New York Giants.
Well, you know,
a lot of intrigue. I'm sorry, John, what were you saying?
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to be an interesting draft, and I think it's going to be interesting because there's no way the Giants are going to make all those picks. They have a very good team, a pretty complete team, and they have 10 picks in this draft, and there's no way 10 guys are making the team next year. So there will be movement of some kind on draft day. I promise you that, whether it's for a player or to move up in the draft or maybe for picks in 2010, but believe me, the Giants will make at least one deal either before or on draft day.
But you know what really shocks me? And this is just prototypical of a great run organization.
See him over there, Emma.
I'm a big fan of Robbins. Kevin Mura didn't even play last year, and they launched Frank out of retirement. And they have Justin Tuck. See, when you have all these guys stepping up, then they bring in Rocky Bernard. They bring in Chris Candy. They just load up on the line of scrimmage, and that's what games are won. Nobody can beat them on that line of scrimmage.
Well, that's the thing. They're going to have some kind of crazy rotation where guys like Justin Tuck are going to be playing 30 to 35 plays instead of, 45 or 50, and they're going to be fresh in the fourth quarter when these offensive linemen are struggling a bit. And if you look at the rotation they have at end, they have Tuck, Kiwanuka, Umenura, throwing Chris Candy, who's also going to play tackle, along with Fred Robbins, Rocky Bernard, and Barry Cofield, not to mention Jay Alford, who's the third-year guy they have a lot of hopes for. So they really do have a great rotation on the line. And while the Giants usually like to draft defensive linemen and pass rushers on draft day, I think this is the one draft where they're not going to do that.
Just it would be crazy to even think they can even look in that direction. And since they drafted in free agency, I mean, even at the linebacker position, they go out, they sign Michael Boley, they have Pierce. I mean, they just look to be completely loaded in the front seven, and I don't think that's really an issue for them coming into the draft.
I do think linebacker will be a position they might try to address at some point, only because Antonio Pierce, some people call him washed up, which is ridiculous, just because Brian Westbrook was beating him in pass coverage a couple times. Look, Michael Westbrook beats very good linebackers when he goes out the pass, and you got to cover him one-on-one if you're a middle linebacker. So I wouldn't worry about Antonio Pierce, but it is time coming along where they're going to have to find his replacement. He only has 1 year left on his deal after this one, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants use one of those second- or third-round picks on middle linebacker, and I wouldn't be shocked if the right strong side linebacker drops, and they wouldn't look for a young guy to maybe step in there for Danny Clark, who started on the strong side last year.
Yeah, and you make a great point, John, because everybody is talking about him now with the draft. Oh, they need a replacement for Plax. The offense kind of struggled last year when he wasn't in. But something that I keep telling a lot of people is that this particular draft is very deep at the wide receiver position. If you're in the Giants' case, when you're looking at the end of the first round and you potentially see a guy like Larry English, who I don't think will be there from Northern Illinois, or a guy like James Laurinaitis. I mean, there are a lot of linebackers that you can get at the end of the first round and fulfill a need, potentially.
to take over for Antonio Pierce, or using the rotation and address that wide receiver need much later, because outside of Michael Crabtree, Hakeem Nicks, and Percy Harvin, Jeremy Maclin, you've got guys like Lewis Murphy, Brian Robiskie, Kenny Britt. They're going to be a lot – Joaquin Iglesias from Oklahoma. They're going to be a lot of great wide receivers, potential to be great, that you could easily get in the second round as well.
You know, a lot of people will laugh, but if people keep telling me or asking me who the Giants take in the first round, I will honestly be surprised if the Giants take a wide receiver in the first round. Just the reason you said, this draft, it has a lot of depth. And quite frankly, the receiver they take with that Saints pick in the second round they got for Jeremy Shockey last year, that guy isn't going to be that much worse, if worse at all, than the guy they can get at the end of the first round. So I think the Giants will not go wide out in the first round, of course, assuming they keep that pick and don't trade it. But again, I don't think the Giants will go wide out in the first round.
Yeah, and the Giants have tons of depth. When you look at their team up and down the board on both sides, you have a quarterback in Eli Manning. You know, you lose, I mean, you lose Ward as your running back, but you still have Brandon Jacobs, you still have Bradshaw, and you can get another running back in that rotation, fourth, fifth round. I'm a guy that doesn't believe you have to take a running back in the first, second round. A lot of great running backs come out fourth and fifth round. So you can easily find another guy to put in that rotation later on. Receiver, okay, they lose Plaxico Burress, but you have Steve Smith, you have Amani Toomer, you have Boss at tight end. I mean, Sonoris Moss is still on the team. You have Mario Manninghead. Tyree's coming back. You have Dominique Hickson. So, yeah, you don't have Plaxico Burress, but the cover.
Yeah, I would definitely say this. The Giants will not take a running back on the first day of the draft. I promise you that. The Giants will not take a running back on the first day of the draft. They might end up going second day, but they have very high hopes for Danny Ware, who's a young guy that's been around for a few years. They expect him to step in for Ahmad Bradshaw, who will in turn step in for Derek Ward. I don't see them going running back on that first day, like you said. In terms of the wide receiver depth, yeah, they have a bunch of guys that are good and they like, but I don't think inside the organization they believe any of those guys has what it takes to be a number one wideout. I'm of the belief that they will eventually work out a trade and deal for Braylon Edwards. I think that's something they'll do, only because he'll cost less than Anquan Boldin, and he's more of that down the field deep threat that Burris was when he left. But no, again, I don't see the Giants going running back first day, not at all.
That's a great point too with the wide receivers. Now we know Anquan Boldin's on the trade block. We know Braylon Edwards on the trade block. Years old. The knock on him is he's a lot
faster.
You think Braylon Edwards would be a guy over Anquan Boldin?
You know what? Honestly, I'm not sure if Braylon Edwards is that guy. I don't know. Guys that cover Mountain Cleveland, he had a period last year where he boycotted the media for a good month because of a speeding ticket. He wasn't happy about how they reported on it. He dropped a lot of passes. He only had one big year. But on the other hand, he fits the physical profile that Burris did. He's a tall guy. He's a strong guy. He's got down the field speed. He draws a double team. He has that talent. And look, you can draft a wide receiver, but as you well know, these guys are a crapshoot in their rookie year. One guy, I think, in the last 10 years has gotten more than 1,000 yards in the rookie season, and that was a clean for Tampa Bay that one year. A wide receiver in the draft is a crapshoot. Braylon Edwards is much more of a sure thing, and if I'm the Giants, if I can get him for a 1-4 or 2-4, I think that's something you have to roll the dice on, assuming you don't have to give him that ridiculous of a contract extension.
Well, that's the thing, too. Whether you get a Braylon Edwards or an Anquan Boldin, I'm a big Anquan Boldin fan, Tom, but I would see the guy. It's a proof.
proven number one, that kind of money that's clearly going to be on the downside of his career in a couple of years, and those injuries can come back to hurt you in the long run.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Breland, I think rather Anquan Boldin is a better player than Breland Edwards, but again, I think A, the contract with him is going to be a problem. B, he's more of a catch and run guy, less of a catch the ball down the field in motion guy. That's the role Larry Fitzgerald played for that team. You mentioned money they'll have to pay him. That's certainly a factor, but frankly, I just think the price is going to be too high for him. I don't think the Cardinals are as anxious to move Anquan Boldin as the Browns are to move Breland Edwards. My feel is that Mangini does not like Breland Edwards. He already got rid of Kellen Winslow Jr., who was a bad attitude guy on that team. I think Edwards is the next guy out the door, and I think the Giants could get him for a lot less than what they would have to give up for Boldin. Remember this, the Giants as an organization build through the draft. They build young. They do not like to bring in guys for big money in free agency. It's not the type of thing that the Giants classically as an organization have done, especially for a guy on the offensive side of the ball. Pass rusher, sure, maybe. A wide receiver, that's not really the way they do things. So the Giants are not going to overpay with draft picks or money after the trade is made for either one of these two guys.
Yeah, I agree. And when you look at all their draft picks, they have one pick in round one, two in round two, and two in round three. You know what, John? If I really want one of those guys bad enough, depending upon you know how much you have to give them an extension, I know Jerry Reese has done a hell of a job as a general manager. I don't know if the Giants prefer to pay their own players. I mean, they went out and they paid Chris Canty a lot of money. Are they hesitant as far as the wallets and opening up their paying players a lot of money? Because I figure, you know what, if a team is calling me and saying, hey, we want Breland Edwards, we'll give you a second rounder and a third rounder because they have two picks in each round, I'm doing the deal if I'm the Giants and I'm the other team because they still have picks in that same round. But you have to think the one holdup could be that contract. If they make a deal like that, would you do something like that for a second and third round pick? And if so, would you be willing to give them the big money, a guy like Breland Edwards, he's going to want, especially a guy that really hasn't even hit the prime of his career?
Well, what I would say is it depends what you mean by big money. They were willing to give Burris the contract. So when they gave Burris the contract, they structured it so that if he does something stupid in year two of that, or year one of that contract, which he did, it's only going to cost them $3 million guaranteed. It was structured so there were roster bonuses and things of that nature. So while the money was technically guaranteed, if the Giants decide to cut loose after a year, that money wasn't really guaranteed. It wasn't a signing bonus. You know, they would have owed Burris $3 or $4 million on June 1st, but they're not going to have to pay that. So I think they'd be willing to give Breland Edwards a contract like that, but I think it would be a very, very carefully devised contract by Jerry Reese where they're not writing him an $18 million check the minute he signs, and if they have to cut him after 2 years, they got $8, $9 million with the dead money on the cap. The Giants will not sign a contract like that, especially with a guy like Breland Edwards, who certainly didn't have the track record that Plaxico Burress had when he signed his initial deal, even with the Giants 4 or 5 years ago. So, again, I think it depends how much money Breland Edwards wants, to be honest with you.
You look at the draft picks the last 5 years, especially in the first round, John, and we're joined on the All Access Sports Line by John Schmel from NewYorkGiants.com.
You know what? I might end up losing here. The four train's pulling up, so if I lose you, that's why. I apologize.
It is not a problem, John. Corey Webster, Eli Manning. Boy, Jerry Reese is doing a hell of a job there, isn't he?
Yeah, Jerry's had a great track record with his draft picks. He's done a very good job getting quality people in there as much as it is quality players. And you know, the Giants are very much an organization of character, and they've got guys in there that get in there, they keep their mouths shut, they do a good job, they work hard, they improve, and Jerry Reese's track record certainly is good. You know, I'm stepping on the train here, so if you guys ever need me again, give me a call. I'm happy to join you. Great job, and we'll talk to you at the draft.
Take the time. You take care, my friend.
You too, my man.
There we go, folks. John Schmel from NewYorkGiants.com giving us his insight on the New York Giants, what they're going to do draft day. And that's very interesting. And I want to talk about that for a little bit. The Giants get rid of Plaxico Burress. I don't blame them one bit. I don't want to deal with Plax. And I'll come out and say, the guy is a cancer. And he's a pain in the ass. He's a pain in the ass. What does he ever bring good attention to the team?
Jay Cutler wants to recruit him? Knock yourself out. Go figure. But the Giants, with all those draft picks, why not trade up in the draft, A, or B, offer those picks and go out and get Braylon Edwards. Go out and get Anquan Boldin. That would be a great move. Thing, like John and I discussed, the contract. The contract is going to be the kicker. How much do you have to give the guy? That is something that's going to play a very big part. They have 2 second-round picks, 2 third-round picks. I have a first-rounder. It's a low first-rounder. I'm not giving up a first. Not today's NFL. The trade chart is a lot different. Teams aren't quick to give up draft picks. A team like the Giants, a team with a lot of depth, why not? They made the trade for Shockey with the Saints that netted them a 2 and a 5. I'm calling up Cleveland, or I'm calling up Arizona, and I'm in this situation. I'm more of a Anquan Boldin fan as a receiver. But the jaw, he's had 2 knees surgically repaired. He's 29, he's going to be 30 years old. I'm a little hesitant. Braylon Edwards is 26 years old. Doesn't have an injury history. Hey, Cleveland, we'll give you a 2. We'll give you a 3. Give us Braylon Edwards. That way the Giants will fill their wide receiver need. Don't have to draft one because of all the guys I named before. They potentially have Braylon Edwards. You got Mario Manningham, Sonoris Moth, Amani Toomer, Dominique Hickson, David Tyree, Kevin Voss at tight end. You're absolutely loaded at the Steve Smith. You're absolutely loaded at the receiver position. And all the receivers are relatively young outside of Amani Toomer. All the guys I just named are under the age of 30, except for Amani Toomer, who's 33, 34 years old and still playing at a pretty high level. The Giants then still have a first-rounder, a second-rounder, a third-rounder. Go out and get a linebacker. Go out and get a starting safety. Fulfill some more depth to your nickel package, your dime, whatever kind of formation you're going to run. Add another offensive lineman. Get another running back later to pair with Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw. Folks, the Giants look loaded. And they look like they're going to be a very tough team. And Anquan Boldin, who knows what's going to happen with him. But the Arizona Cardinals, boy, did Ken Whisenhunt do a hell of a job with that team last year. Who would have thought the Arizona Cardinals ever would have wound up in a Super Bowl? They had the owner, Bill Bidwell, who looks like a Pee Wee Herman doll, has never been a winner. Happens every year, folks. A team becomes successful, so all teams around the league start tapping into the winning team sources. Clancy Pendergast, defensive coordinator, gets fired. Offensive coordinator Todd Haley, one of those Bill Parcells proteges from the Bill Parcells tree, ends up becoming the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that'll affect them a little bit. A little bit. But when you sub Ken Whisenhunt, Russ Scrimm, they come from that Pittsburgh style. Arizona would have won the Super Bowl last year if it wasn't for mistakes. They would have been your Super Bowl champions. And you look at what they've done the last few years in the draft. Dominique Rodgers, Cromartie. I am a huge fan of Cromartie. Levi Brown, if you're starting offensive tackle. Matt Leinart, maybe he's still the future. They just gave Kurt Warner a 2-year extension. Antrell Roll, your starting safety, that's a lethal combination. When you've got Antrell Roll at your safety position with Adrian Wilson, you got Rodgers Cromartie at one corner, and then Larry Fitzgerald. Is there a receiver better than Larry Fitzgerald? I have Larry Fitzgerald as the best receiver in the NFL. He's 1 and 1A with Andre Johnson from the Houston Texans.
Were the Cardinals lucky last year? Were they a one-year wonder? I don't think so. They bring in center. Excuse me. They bring in cornerback Brian McFadden from Pittsburgh. Secondary looks pretty strong. You bring back Carlos Dansby. It can't get any better than that when you bring in a guy like Carlos Dansby. And you keep him. Well, he's franchised. Dansby fires his agent. Wants a new deal. Cardinals have been known to be a tad bit deep. Doesn't look that way from Fitzgerald and Bolden. Pay your star middle linebacker. Pay him whatever he wants. He's 26 years old. Show him the money. What are the Cardinals' needs going into the draft? They got a pick in every round, two in round seven. I think the Cardinals can go for another running back to pair up with Tim Hightower. Edgerrin James is not happy over the age of 30. How about Donald Brown, Sean McCoy? Outside linebacker. Clay Matthews won't be there. Maybe Brian Cushing. Connor Barwin. Clint Sintem. Although Sintem is more of a 3-4 player than a 4-3. Pope, the tight end, has been mediocre. Maybe another tight end. They could still use help on the offensive line, the Cardinals. If I'm the Cardinals, I'm getting the best potential offensive lineman, especially because Russ Grimm is the offensive line guru. Him and Wisenhunt came from Pittsburgh. You win the game in the trenches. You get some horses up front that know how to push the pile. So I'm going to tell you, teams are going to bring the kitchen sink at Kurt Warner. They're going to say, okay, we need to get to Warner fast because we got Bowman, if he's still there, Fitzgerald, Steve Breston. We need to get pressure on the quarterback. If you can run the football, it takes pressure off your passing game, makes life a hell of a lot easier. How about Alex Mack? If you're Arizona in round one, get your center for the future. Alex Mack, Deuce Latui, Levi Brown. Got some nice size in the middle on one side of your line. They had inconsistencies on the offensive line last year. That's something that I would pay close attention to if I'm the Arizona Cardinals. But one thing I want to discuss with the draft 9 days away, those small-time schools. DeMarcus Ware came from Troy, folks. And there are a lot of sleepers as far as I'm concerned. I pay close attention to those small schools. You get a lot of great players at those small schools. And I'll name a bunch. We're expecting Josh Buchanan to join us from the NFL Draft Bible. And who else knows more about sleepers, great players, than my friend Josh Buchanan from the NFL Draft Bible? And Josh knows more about small players from smaller schools than anybody. And I've known Josh a long time now from the Combine, the Senior Bowl, and he joins us now on the show, Josh Buchanan from the NFL Draft Bible. Josh, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How about you? You're cutting in and out, just so you know.
Can you hear me better now, my friend?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit better.
How you doing, buddy? Long time no speak. You know, I missed you at the Combine this year. They kind of gave us a raw deal. The new setup was brutal.
Yeah, no, I didn't make it. I was working on next year's draft, so didn't have a chance to make it.
Look at you. You're always working. We haven't even gotten through this year. You're already working for next year, my friend. You got to love it, right?
Well, I started in January. I had to, or else I get behind.
So. Hey, so Josh, before we talk about 2009, give me your top 10 for 2010.
Are you serious?
Buddy, you've known me a long time. Of course, I'm only messing with you, but it's
okay,
fun to mess
because I could if you wanted it.
And you know what? I'm sure you do have it also. We just can't include Tim Tebow in that small school top 10 projection for 2010, though, right?
Yeah, no, he's not in there unless he transfers this summer.
Exactly. And Josh, I appreciate you joining me on the program today, and I did want to talk to you about, you know, I hate using small-time players. And that's a phrase that a lot of people use. I talk about great players at small schools, and there are
You're cutting in and out again. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, Josh, there's been a little bit of a with the connection. Is this better for you now?
I can hear you now.
I'm sorry. Do the best you can to bear with it. We're trying to fix the technical snafus here. But like I said, a lot of guys that I think have the potential to be great players at the next level. And one guy I want to start with is the guy number one on your board, Lawrence Sidbury. What are your thoughts on Lawrence Sidbury?
You know, he's an interesting guy. You know, it depends on what you watch of him. If you're, you know, to what grade you're going to give him. If you watch his regular season tape, you're probably going to give him a fifth round grade. But if you watch the Montana game from now up to now, his workouts, pro days, the combine, Senior Bowl, East West Shrine, probably going to give him a second or third round grade. I myself fall a little bit in between. I gave him my personal grade is a fourth-round grade, but I expect him to come off in the second round because of the fact he's such an athletic kid, and he's a guy that if he's got his motor going, if he's going all out, he's one of the best defensive ends in this draft and could be a star at the next level. So he's a guy that if he turns up, the light bulb comes on, and he gives it all he's got, he's one of the better guys in this draft and could even be a steal in the second round eventually, just because he's so athletic. He could even drop back into coverage if you need him to, because he's very, like I say, he's very athletic, fluid kid, and, you know, he's very fast. I mean, he's a 4.5 guy. He's faster than a lot of the linebackers in the NFL of themselves. And, you know, as you know, when you're a defensive end and you have that type of speed, you know, it is a huge mismatch for opponents.
Now, with Lawrence, can he be that hybrid outside backer in a 3-4 system, or do you look at him as being a 4-3 defensive end only?
No, I think he's a hybrid 3-4. I really do. And like I said, because of the fact that he could drop back into coverage, and because of the fact that he's got that speed. You know, he's a guy that you want to get him running after guys. You want to get him going sideline to sideline because, he's got that range, and two, he's got the speed. He can beat a lot of running backs to the edge. So I think he's a guy that you like him in space, but he's best as a pass rusher. He's best pinning his ears back and going after the quarterback. So maybe he'd be a better 4-3 guy, but I could easily see a team taking him as a 3-4. But like I say, even if he is a 3-4 outside backer, he's a guy you want in on passing downs because he's a guy that he's his best when he's going after the quarterback.
Now, 6'2", 265 pounds, definitely has the size. Do you feel that he's raw, or can he come right in and step in? I mean, we know, Josh, that at the NFL level, there are a lot of players that come in that they use the term raw. And I say with great coaching, brings out the best in a player that has it underneath. Is Lawrence one of those guys that might take a year or two for the bulb to go on, or with the right coaching and the right system, he can really be one of those sleepers as a rookie that comes out and can have double-digit sacks?
He's a guy that, in my mind, you bring him in as a situational guy. He comes, like I say, he's a third down, and you put him in on third downs, put him in on passing downs. Let him do what he do best. Let him do what he does best. Teach him the mechanics, playing against the run, his pass rush technique. He's a guy that needs to develop some more moves. I don't think he's an every-down guy yet, but give him a year or two, and I think he possibly could be. Although, you know, right now, like I say, there's nothing wrong with being a situational guy. And, excuse me, I think he'd be a very good one, as a rookie. But, yeah, I do think he needs work if you're talking about an every down guy that you expect to really never come out of the ball game.
And you make a great point, Josh, because even if he's a situational guy at first, situational guys are pretty much on the field most of the time. If a team is running the ball on first down and they're coming in shotgun, they're bringing in 3 and 4 wide, you're going to see a guy like that. Your situational guy is going to be in on second down, and he's going to be in on third down. So he's in on all the main passing downs. He's still going to have his opportunity to make a lot of big plays.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. And that's why you probably don't take a guy like Sid Berry in the first or maybe the early second. Probably goes off the board in the mid to late second because of the fact that you know that you're going to need a year or two on him. And he's a guy that could completely bust. He's a boom or bust in my mind. I don't see an average. He's either going to come out and give you all he's got, and he's going to be a very productive pass rusher for you, or he's going to come to the league, he's going to be lazy, and he'll never pan out. So he's a guy that either way, even if he does bust, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to need a year, I think, to fully get into it. You know, he could be Mario Williams. He could be a guy his first year everybody thinks is a bust and then comes out and is a huge boom for you as a second-year player.
And, you know, Josh, I know we're still talking about the defensive end side linebackers. One guy I wanted to ask you about really fast and get your thoughts on, he's a guy, in my opinion, that's a first-rounder. What are your thoughts on Larry English from Northern Illinois?
You know, I like him. He's a guy I could see going in the late one, early two. You know, he's an interesting hybrid type of kid. I noticed him on tape, you know, this past year when I was looking at a few of these small school guys. I got to peek at him a little bit, and he's got a pretty good motor to him. He closes very well to the football. He's a guy that finds the quarterback. He's a guy that's constantly in the backfield, and I think, you know, any NFL team, he's the type of guy that I think would maybe almost fit with any team. He's going to probably be a hybrid type of 3-4 kid, but he's a guy that, you know, who could even be a situational guy in a 4-3 perhaps. So he's one of those guys that I really think that it depends on your flavor. Some teams may not even want to touch him because they don't like those hybrid guys, or they don't feel they can use them. But one of those teams, one of those 3-4 teams, is probably going to draft him late in the first, or like I say, early to mid-second. And, you know, he's a guy that I do think will need a little bit of work. He's going to need some coaching, but he could be a very good one down the line. I mean, he'd be like Sid Berry, though. Probably will need a little bit of development before you're ready to unleash him.
When I look at a guy like Larry English, he kind of reminds me a little bit at the collegiate level, very similar to the Marcus Ware, you know. And I have Larry English going at number 25 to Miami because I think when you're in that Bill Parcells system, he covets guys that are hybrid players from smaller schools. And I can see Bill Parcells and his coaching staff, and the word I like to use, his tutelage, on a guy like Larry English.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a coach like Parcells would probably bring out the best in English and possibly, you know, have him contributing heavily as a rookie, you know, because of the way they operate. I could easily see them getting him ready, and a team like them, the New England Patriots, would be another one. I could see him coming in right off the bat and actually producing for you as a rookie. So, you know, he's a guy I think really just needs to get with the right team. Depending on who he gets with, you know, I believe his progression will be faster with a team like one of those than maybe some of these others. And thus, I could agree with you. I could easily see Parcells pulling the trigger at 25 with him.
The Sports Line by Josh Cannon from the NFL Draft Bible. Josh, I want to ask you a question about running backs. And one guy that I'm in love with, he's on the Brian Spector man crush list. And I felt the same way about Matt Forte last year. And he went out and had a great year when he came out of Tulane for the Chicago Bears. I'm a huge fan of Rashad Jennings out of Liberty. He's 6'1". He's over 230 pounds. And he's fast. How much is this guy flying under the radar?
You know, I don't think he's flying too much under right now. You know, if you saw the traffic coming through, you know, maybe with the media he is, and I believe he is, but if you would have seen the traffic coming through Liberty this fall, you would see that he was heavily on the radar. Teams coming in, checking out him and that quarterback heavily. I mean, they were in there every day. But he's a guy that his name is kind of getting lost in the shuffle with some of these other running backs between a lot, you know, in the news right now. He's a guy that nobody's talking about. But they're probably not talking about him because he's not flashy. He doesn't run a 4.3 40. He's not from a big school. He doesn't have anything wrong with him. He does the right things off the field. He's got, you know, great character. He's a great kid. You're not going to hear anything bad about a guy like this. And he's sometimes he's not flashy on the field. He's not always flashy, but he gets the job done. He can break the big run if you need him to. He catches very well the backfield. He's an all-around running back that you take him in the second, third, or fourth round, and you get value out of him because you know he's going to be the type of guy you can count on. And it's funny you mentioned Forte. He's got the same agent as Matt Forte and Maurice Jones-Drew. They're all in the same agent. I have no reason to doubt that this kid will not fall in the same line as those other two guys because, you know, I like Jennings a lot as well. I was big on Jennings last year in June. So, you know, I fully expect this guy to have a very good career.
And, Josh, these nowadays, in today's NFL, all these teams are running a two-back system. You have the change of pace guy, and you have the guy that can pound the football. And I made this example when I looked at the Atlanta Falcons last year. Michael Turner had an incredible year, but there's only so much pounding he can take. I mean, I think it's very important. You look at the Dolphins, Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown. The Giants had Earth, Wind, and Fire, Bradshaw, Ward, and Jacobs. And I think that Rashad Jennings is the guy that, hey, I'll carry the ball 12 to 15 times a game. I'll hit that long ball every once in a while. I'll get that 50-60-yard run. And he's a guy that I really feel can give those NFL teams, those on the defensive side, a big beat. I really believe that's a guy that can really carry the rock, carry the load, and really put a pounding in the opposing team.
Yeah, he definitely could. Like I said, he can catch the ball in the backfield as well. So he's a guy you don't have to take out in certain situations. You don't have to put that change of pace back in there to catch the football. He's the type of guy you can leave him in there when you want to dump it to him out of the flat or down the field. Or you want him to block because he's an adequate blocker as well. And, you know, he's just one of those guys, like I say, that just about no matter what you want to do with the guy of his character and his ability, the fact that he's not outstanding at any one or two things, but he's very good at everything. He's solid at everything. He's the type of guy you bring him in and he gives you a solid 10 to 12 year career. He's a guy who's not hurt, who doesn't get hurt very easily. He's the type of guy that, if anything, would punish the defender. And so he's the type of guy that you can plug in there and expect him to contribute in every sort of way and to last for you for a long, long time. You know, I do not see this guy coming in and being out of the league in 3 years from now. I fully expect him to have a good, long career and to contribute in just about any way you want.
And I have him going in round two. And with running backs, Josh, you can get a great running back round two, three, four, five. It's not like it used to be years ago where everyone said, oh, you need a great running back, you have to get him in round one. I mean, Terrell Davis with Denver, I mean, I guess they kind of started the blueprint that you don't have to get a running back in round one. If I'm a team that know I need a running back and I can address a bigger need in round one, I would pick up a guy like Rashad Jennings easily in round two.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, like you said. In fact, me, if I'm a general manager, I would target running backs. Oh, I would be more likely to target a running back at rounds two through four. There's been too many of these guys taken in the top 10 that bust, especially for the money you're paying out. Why pay an insane amount of money to a guy that you maybe worry about, has a few flaws? You know, when you can save that money, get a guy like Jennings a little bit cheaper, but a guy that you don't have to worry about as much because you know off the field he's not going to give you those problems. And you also know that on the field, he's a guy that really has no major flags. His only downfall to this kid is his top-end speed. He's not blazing fast. But when you're that big, you don't need to be. So, you know, like you said, he's the type of guy, you take him in round two or three, and you feel like you have a good football player for a long time to come.
I'm by Josh Buchanan from the NFL Draft Bible. He is the small school guru, what I call him. And, Josh, I really appreciate the time. I want to ask you about two more players really quickly before I let you go. Defensive backs, I mean, they're tough to find.
there aren't what people are calling a shutdown corner in this year's draft. I find that comment a little premature because there are a lot of players that are good players and with the right coaching bring out some more of those skills or bring out things in a player's game that we've never seen before. One guy that I'm really intrigued with is from Nicholls State, Lardarius Webb. What are your thoughts on him as a corner?
Well, you know, he's a very interesting player. He's the type of guy that I think you draft him just purely based on the fact he's a good defensive player, but his special teams ability. I think that takes him from maybe you maybe have him seventh free agent. Maybe now you go fifth round on him because of the fact he can contribute defensively in nickel situations for you because of the fact he has good ball skills. He's actually a little bit faster than people expected. A lot of people thought he'd be a 4.5 or maybe low 4.6 guy. Comes in and clocks 4.4s for you, high 4.4s. And so when you get a guy like that that can come in and contribute on special teams as a return man, a guy that could potentially take it to the house at any given point, put him in on nickel situations. And the reason I say that is because I don't know he has the hips to be a straight cover corner. And I also am not sure he quite has the bulk to drop back there and play free safety in the National Football League. But with his ball skills and hands, playmaking ability, he'd be an excellent nickel guy that you have. Go out there, roam, find the football, read the quarterback's eyes, and make a play on it. And he's the type of guy that could be very good at that early in his career. And, again, he'd give you that special teams ability. And I can't stress that enough. I think a lot of people forget that. Remember in the mid to late rounds of the draft, there will be a lot of players drafted that people have maybe seventh round or free agent based on their offensive or defensive ability, but they're going to go a lot higher because of the fact they can contribute heavily on special teams. And as a rookie, when you're a late round guy, that's where most people are going to expect you to perform anyway. You know, so he's that type of guy. You plug him in there and you know he can be a kickoff guy, punt return guy, right off the bat and give you an immediate return in your value and probably even give you better value than what you pick in them when you get them in round 5 or 6.
And you know what, Josh, you made an excellent point. This is something that I tell some – I mean, I speak to a lot of kids. You speak to a lot of them. I say don't just be focused on one aspect of your game. Versatility is key. When you're versatile, you give teams, a reason to draft you higher, pay you more money, and let you be able to do different things. A guy like Lardarius Webb, there are other players, return kicks, return punts, play the flyer on special teams. Like you said, Lardarius can play the corner. Possibly he can play a little bit in the safety position. He's very versatile, so that's going to give him the opportunity to really help out a team in other aspects while he perfects his craft and gets taught more about the position that he's really good at. Where do you see him going in the draft?
I mean, I see anywhere from round 5 to round 7. I would probably say if I had to pinpoint a spot, I would say late 5th to early to mid 6th range would be about where I'd expect him to go. But like I said, somebody could fall in love with that special teams ability draft and draft him a little bit higher, or he could slide depending on how things go. But 5th or 6th round would be my guess as of now. I've said that since the combine, and I will probably stick to that.
Draft the NFL poker game because you don't know what a team's going to do. They're going to tell you they're going to do this and get you to think something else, so their player drops and you pick a guy higher than what you really want to. And even today, a player that's worthy of a fifth-round grade might get drafted in the late 3rd because, A, they don't want to lose him to another team, and the mind game they're trying to play won't work, and teams will reach for a guy because they don't want to lose him to anybody else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you honestly don't know what's going to happen. The funny thing is there's players that teams, are sitting there thinking in the 6th round, that's going to be the guy they're going to take. And they're maybe the only team that wants to draft him, and they don't know that. Then you see the guy that they wanted to maybe get in round 4, he actually slides to him. A guy like that gets slides down, much better player than where he goes. And then you maybe see a guy go undrafted that's expected to. So, I mean, anything can happen. Teams don't even know what they're going to do right now. There are some teams that are pretty much done with their boards. Some, it seems like, are still working on it. People would be very surprised at how many area scouts are working on next year's draft right now. I think, really, the general managers and the coaches are the ones still trying to figure this whole thing out because, it seems like, you know, a lot of people around the NFL are working on next year, as I am, and, you know, pretty much have a feel for this is the value of certain guys. But just, as you said, it's such a crapshoot. It's so tough to tell. I mean, guys that we think are fifth-round caliber guys slide to seventh or undrafted all the time just because it's such a crapshoot. It's unpredictable. I mean, you can predict, you know, most of the first two or three rounds, but then after that, you know, you start seeing names in the fifth, sixth, seventh round that nobody's heard of, you know, just because of the crapshoot it truly is. I mean, it's one of the most unpredictable things that you'll ever see in sports, to be honest with you.
NFL Draft Bible here on the NFL Spectacular. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector. Josh, again, I really appreciate your time. And the last question I want to ask you is a player from Stillman College, Sammy Lee Hill. I really love this kid.
Yeah, he's a very interesting one. Sammy is a tweener type of kid in certain ways. He's a very athletic player. He can drop out in the coverage at times if you want him to, but he's got a little bit of laziness to him. That's what he's been described as by a lot of people around the league and by a lot of, you know, people outside the league who have seen him. But you look at his athletic ability and the fact that when he wants to, he can flat out dominate at his size. He played defensive end at Stillman. He's going to move inside to the three technique likely at the NFL level. When you have a guy with his athletic ability and strength moving inside like that, that can run that well and with his quickness and can cause those matchup problems for those slower guards and centers, he's the type of guy that could really flourish if he puts his mind to it because of that athletic ability. I had one person describe him as quote-unquote a raw beast. I mean, just flat out said he is a raw beast. He's a guy that could be a third-round caliber player when it's all said and done or better. But because of the laziness concerns, some people are a little bit concerned about that. Some of all, I've labeled him as a complete boomer bust. He's either going to come in, light the world on fire, and impress people as a day two pick, or he's going to come in and get lost in the shuffle. I'm really hoping he comes in and sets his mind to it to work hard because I'm glad you like him because he's got a lot of talent and a lot of upside. Just happens to be some question marks on him. It'll be interesting to see if a team reaches and takes him where they think he could end up or if he actually slides on draft day because of those concerns.
And you know what, Josh? It's very difficult to find the guy that's as athletic as he is at 330-some-odd pounds. And you know what? He hasn't even gotten into an NFL camp yet, which means he's going to get stronger. He might put on another 5 to 10 pounds. And a guy that can drop back in coverage, like you said, play a three technique, he can come at you right over center, he can run a stunt, go around the end. There's so many different things this guy can do. And a guy that big with that kind of versatility, I mean, to pass that up, you know, if you're a great team, you can really coach the hell out of that guy. And, you know, you can find yourself an incredible steal from a small school.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, one thing that I didn't even mention, you were talking about coaching him up. You know, he's a guy, and talking about his athletic ability, I tell you how athletic he is. Give you an example. A couple years ago, now he hasn't done it in a while because he hasn't been playing basketball, but at about 325 pounds, 330 pounds, this kid could do a 360 dunk with a basketball in his hand. I mean, can you imagine being that athletic at that 6'4", 330, 325 pounds to be able to 360 slam dunk a basketball? I mean, it's just insane. You know, when you're talking about a guy that is that athletic, there's not many guys in the NFL who can do that that are 6'2", 250, let alone 6'4", 330.
Come on, Josh, don't hold back. You and I did that same 360 slam dunk on the 10-foot basket last week. Come on, so you, me, and Sammy Lee, okay?
Well, I mean, obviously, yes, but, you know, not everybody's like us. You'd be surprised how many guys in the league can't do it, though.
Well, Josh, I appreciate the help, folks. This is Josh Buchanan from the NFL Draft Bible. He does a terrific job getting all the insight on players from small schools. You can check out his terrific work, NFLDraftBible.com. He's a great guy and works as hard as anybody. And anytime you want insight on those small-time players from the smaller schools, check out Josh's work on the NFL Draft Bible. Josh, I really appreciate the time. I always appreciate your insight. And it's good talking to you, my friend. I haven't spoken to you in a while.
Yeah, man, it's good to talk to you, too. But, hey, before I go, you said 2010. I'll even give you my top player, Andre Roberts from the Citadel. Look him up. He's like Ladarius Webb. Excellent, excellent player on the offensive side of the ball, but brings special teams ability. He's a guy I think people are going to really be intrigued by this fall. So I'll give you a little tidbit into the early dig board for next year as well.
There you go, folks. You got an early tidbit for 2010. We haven't even finished 2009, and Josh Buchanan's already working on 2010. Josh, again, my friend, I really appreciate it, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
All right. Sounds good, Brian. Take it easy, man.
You too, buddy. Take care. There you go, folks. Josh Buchanan giving his insight. Players from smaller schools. I want to thank Josh for his time. A couple minutes left on the show, folks. Josh Buchanan from the NFL Draft Bible giving us the insight. Players from small schools. When your team drafts one, don't be upset. Hear the situation out. Give it some time. Get a lot of steals from those small-time schools. John Schmelk from NewYorkGiants.com joined us today as well. Gave his insight, as Chris Berman says, the G-men. We thank him for his time. Draft's getting closer, folks. Are you getting excited? Is anybody getting excited? I'm excited. You folks hear about this story. Shots were fired at Tom Brady's wedding. Tom Brady's marrying Giselle, and shots are fired. Two freelance photographers who snapped pics of Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen weekend wedding in Costa Rica say they were shot at by the supermodel security personnel. Can you imagine? You're sitting there, you're the paparazzi, you want to take a few shots, and all of a sudden you got bullets flying at you. Nobody was hurt. But it was very close. The two men narrowly escaped death when bullets shattered the back windshield of the duo Suzuki Jeep, then hit the vehicle's front window. Wow. Usually, you shoot in self-defense. Is a camera a threat? Huh. Robert Kraft was in attendance. I wonder if he got wanded. Lots of people to thank. Dan Moglione, the NFL College the college insider. I want to thank him for his help on the show today. John Schmelk from Giants.com. You can catch his terrific work, as I said, on NewYorkGiants.com. You can catch all of his articles. Josh Buchanan, the NFL Draft Bible, our insider for the small schools, players at small schools. I want to thank all of you that were listening to me today. Appreciate your support on the show. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector in the NFL Spectacular, coming to you every Tuesday and Thursday, 5 to 6 Eastern Time. Check us out on the dial. And catch the show on NFLDraftBible.com. We'll be back Tuesday when the NFL Draft is only 5 days away from that point, folks. Who's your favorite team? Who are they going to take? I'll give you my NFL mock draft next week. As much as I hate mocks with 5 days left, I'll tell you who I think each team is going to pick. And we'll do the NFL all-around team. Again, want to thank John Schmelk, Giants.com, Josh Buchanan, the NFL Draft Bible, Dan Moglione for his help on the show. We'll be back next Tuesday, 5-6
Again, thank everybody for your support. Can't do the show without you. We'll see you next Tuesday, 5 o'clock, folks. Have a good one.